Hello everyone, welcome to the Tabitha Stories podcast. It's been a minute since my last episode, and I have missed chatting with you about everything interesting. So what's been keeping me away from the mic? Well, a few things actually. First off, scheduling interviews has been a bit of a challenge. Many of the folks I would love to chat with have been incredibly busy, which is totally understandable. But I am determined to bring you some amazing conversations. So I'm working hard to make it happen. On top of that, I've been thinking a lot about the direction of the podcast. I want to ensure that the stories I share align with my goals and vision for the show. It's important to me that each episode is meaningful and engaging, so I have been taking some time to curate the content carefully. But don't worry, I'm not leaving you hanging. To bridge the gap, I'm excited to introduce a summer series called My Summer of 2024. In this series, I'll share my summer experiences, including events and festivals I attend. I hope to give you a glimpse into my world and provide some entertaining content during this time. So stay tuned for the first episode of my summer of 2024 coming soon. As always, thanks for listening. Chapter 2. Alexander goes to a new prison, and there he finds his dream. Our day to record this podcast with Alexander was set up informally. I met him outside the grocery store, where we met for the first time. He asked me if I had any other plans for the day. I told him I had no agenda other than hearing his story. He suggested going to a Japanese restaurant and added that he would like to eat something before recording the podcast. While dining at Tokyo Garden Sweet and Sour Pork, the Japanese restaurant, he asked me if I would like to join a men's prayer group. I agreed. The location was not too far away from the restaurant. I asked him, "What do they pray for?" He told me the story of his friend who had lost contact with his daughter. He told me how God again brought him closer to his daughter. As I attended the men's prayer group, they received me with open arms and asked me to sit in a very comfortable couch. There, I heard the story again of his friend who had been battling with addiction. He shared how much pain it had caused him to hurt his beloved daughter, and how much he wanted her to forgive him. I could hear the pain in his voice and his repentance over his past life. Then, as I turn back to look at Alexander, I can see him looking down and reading the Bible. The group of men had asked him to read the Bible for everybody, and I heard his reading voice there for the first time. In this episode, Alexander will share the story of his transfer to a new prison, where he finds his dream.
When I was in the other jail, these older guys, they took me and said, "Hey, look, you got two strikes. You can't afford to mess up. If you mess up, you're going to be in here for the rest of your life and start learning Spanish. We're going to teach you Spanish and start reading books and get an education and start becoming somebody and being somebody. Clean your room. Start learning how to cook the food that you get here. Start learning how to do things for yourself and become better at yourself. Start working out and start doing push-ups and sit-ups and working out better and doing things here. And read us the Bible. They always said that. Read us the Bible. We like the way you read. And when I was growing up, I didn't like the way I read because I had a slur. I slurred.
I couldn't pronounce.
And so that held me back. And so every time I'd get the chance, I would read the Bible to them. And I was in there for a year. And when I went to the judge for my sentence, she was sending so many people to prison in 1996. A lot of people going to prison. And I was next. And she said, "Are you ready for your sentence, Michael?" And I said, "Yeah." And she says, "There's a program here in Visalia. It's the first year, the first program that we're going to have for drug and alcohol. I want you to enroll in this program today. You've been released."
Wow.
And I knew that was God.
Yeah.
There was nobody else that could have done that but God.
Yes.
And so I was 19 years old. I came home and I got a job as a dishwasher at a restaurant. There was a man that took me and I enrolled at the college for speech, for computers, for cooking. Mm-hmm. And I was going to see what to do. And from that day, something happened to me. I was reading the Bible. I was going to church. I was doing so many things. And the people that were in the jail, the ministers that were in the jail, saw me at church and said, "Can you share your story? It's a powerful story of what has happened to you." And so I said, "Sure." And that night, I shared my story. And when I shared my story, I saw all these people standing and clapping. And I knew that's what I wanted to do with my life. I wanted to help people. And I noticed that them clapping, that they were sincere about, they really liked the story. They really liked what they heard. And I wanted to be a preacher. I wanted to be a preacher to help people. And so I went to college and I'd like to cook, I'd like to dishwash, but there was just something about when I read the Bible, I liked the Bible more. And I went home one day from school and I was watching TV and I saw this man preaching from Columbus, Ohio. He had a Bible school and you could learn about the Bible, come to Columbus, Ohio. And I went to church here in Visalia for 2 years. And in 1999, I moved to Columbus, Ohio to go to Bible college. And my family, nobody graduated college. My cousins are in gangs still and drinking and doing drugs.
How old were you around this time? Like, were you
22 years old.
And you were very involved to go to college, to go to Columbus, Ohio.
Mm-hmm. I went for the weekend because I was like, "Oh, I don't know. What if I move all the way over here? What if I don't like it?" Uh-huh. And so I left for the weekend to go over there. And the people, I liked the people, I liked the school. And I said, well, I don't have a job. I don't have a place to live. I don't have money for college. What am I going to do? And so in the beginning, I started working at Walmart, my second job. I started working at Walmart. And when I was working at Walmart, I told them that I wanted to go to Columbus, Ohio. And they said, okay, there's a store right there where you want to go, 30 minutes away. And I said, okay, I'll transfer. So I put a transfer. And at the time, my mom is divorced from my dad. My sister's living with my dad. And at this time, me and my dad aren't talking because he saw me in jail, and me and my father have never been really close. But when he heard that I was going to Bible college, he paid for the first semester for me to go to school. And so that was a blessing from God. And then somebody opened up a room in their house for me to stay while I went to college. And so I packed my suitcase and I moved to Columbus, Ohio in 1999, August 1999.
August 1999.
And when I got there, it was cold. It was cold. And I didn't have a car. I didn't have any. All I was working. And it took me an hour to walk to work. And school was going to start in January of 2000. So I wanted to get there a little bit before school started so I could save a little bit of money. I didn't have a car. I rode a bike from my house to work. Or I would walk from my house to work. And I did that for August, September, October. And then it started snowing. And it was cold. And November. And one of the friends at Walmart sold me my first car. Was a station wagon. A four-door station wagon for $200.
Wow.
And I drove that car. You had to put a quart of oil every 3 days to make the car so it wouldn't smoke. Uh-huh. The engine wouldn't smoke. And then I enrolled in Bible college, and that's where I went to college, and I completed the courses of college. And I graduated in 2003, in third year. I graduated with a diploma of leadership. And I went for another year and graduated with another diploma of pastoralship. So I have two diplomas that I'm very grateful that I accomplished that and I finished college.
Yeah, and what did you do after you got your degree, after you got your diploma? What did you do after?
So after that transition was, I was still working at Walmart and going to college with 16 credits. So I would go to school from 8 to 2 and work at Walmart from 2:30 to 11 for the first 2 years of school. And my last semester of school, I met my wife. And her name was Lara Matias.
Oh, Matias?
Yeah, I'm Portuguese.
Oh, Portuguese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we fell in love, and we were going out for the first year. And then I asked her to marry me in a year and a half. And she said yes. We got married in New Jersey. And then I was still working at Walmart, and I took a promotion as assistant manager because I had my diploma mm-hmm. in leadership. And so we moved to California. We left Columbus, Ohio in 2004. And I started working as an assistant manager.
And how did you meet your wife? Like, what's the story behind you meeting your wife?
I was single for a while, and I had girlfriends and whatnot. And that day I was living, I had a roommate from college, this guy, and I had a dream. I had a dream that I had saw this girl. She was really shiny. She was really shiny, but she was naked. Mm-hmm. I couldn't see the body, but she was just shiny. And the next day, it was Easter, and it was a week before Easter, and I told him, I said, man, I'm going to get married. Mm-hmm. And he says, you're crazy, you're single, you're going to be single forever. And I said, no, I'm going to get married. And I went at the church that I was going to, I used to mentor little boys, and across from the room was the girls where they would mentor little girls. And I saw this girl, and I said, that's the girl in my dream. I'm going to go over there. And I went over there, and I asked her, I'd never forget, I said, can I borrow your vacuum? And she said, yeah. And after I vacuumed my room, I came back, and we talked, and we said, what do you want to do? What do you want to be? What's your future? What do you want to do the rest of your life? And I told her, I want to be a pastor. I want to help people that don't have enough help in life. And I want to be able to encourage people to succeed and to make it in life. And she said, oh, that's what I want to do. I want to begin to help people too. And so we got married. And then when we moved to California, we left Columbus, Ohio to go to California. And we went to California, and I stayed working, and she began to open up about her life. And after that, she told me that she didn't have papers. Uh-huh. She didn't have her papers. And I said, it's okay. We'll get a lawyer. Everything will be okay. And so we got her papers for her. And then I loved her. We could feel our love. We loved each other. And the second year of being married, she told me that her dad abused her for 7 years with her sisters. She has two sisters. And her dad abused all three of her sisters for 7 years. And then later on, she said that she couldn't have babies. And I always wanted to have a baby. And so I said, well, you know, God can do it, you know, we just have to believe. And we waited and waited, and nothing happened the third year, the fourth year. And so we noticed that when she said that her dad abused her, I noticed that my heart got cold. I got angry. I felt like, what happened? She betrayed me. Like, I told her everything about my lifestyle. I told her everything about me. And now this is what happened? And we just noticed that we were getting mad at each other. And we said, well, let's go back. Let's move from California back to Ohio and go back to the church where we went to school. So we went back to the church, and she started working with the pastor, and I started doing security with the pastor, and he was real popular. He was always on TV, and we were kept doing that because our future was to become pastor. I wanted to become a pastor. I always wanted to help people. And so a couple years went by, and we were married for 7 years, and one day she's taking me to work, and there's a snow, and she drove over some black ice, and the SUV spun. Mm-hmm. And a semi hit the back of her.
Oh.
And she ended up in the hospital. And the doctor was saying that she was losing a lot of blood. And so I called her family. Her family drove from New Jersey to see her. She was dying. And there was nothing I could do. Like, I didn't know what was happening. Every time they give her blood, it would pass. Every time they give her blood, it would pass. That happened for 3 days. And her doctor came in and said, I know how to fix it. I can fix it. Let me fix it. But I don't know if you guys will ever have babies. You may never have babies. And I said, oh, it's okay. Do whatever you have to do. So she fixed it, and she came home.